it. We don't need to pause too long, and everybody can have a copy of these tapes later. The reason that this is so extremely important is in cases of emergency necessity for living facilities, you can bring tents up here and you will have water and sewage facilities. As you pass on through this gate up here to the right, it circles on around the hillside, and that is private ground, and you will not be usually allowed beyond this point. But there are some buildings up there that are for special problem children, usually use it in the summer. And so there are some barracks rooms. And then if you look around, you can see that there is a lot of wooded area, and all the way to the top, it's going to become mandatory that we have this land. And you will see it again from the other side as we go up toward what is the YMCA camp. This will be a very easy area to defend. And let me tell you why I have to speak of defense. If and when you are, quote, invaded from below, you're going to need to head up one of these canyons so that we can protect it by cutting it off at the bottom. You can see, as you came up here, that it will be easy to block the road. Now, I'm not talking about bringing your machine guns up here. I'm talking about coming up here for security. And you're going to have to understand that I am your security. We're not going to start a war. You're going to find that major facilities are across this mountain, extremely important ones, Northrop. And that has an entire tunnel system that hooks into Edwards. I have an extremely good working relationship with those people. There are already aliens completely outfitted under the ground, living in those tunnels and living in those cities. And a lot of the people who live in Tehachapi actually live and work underground over there across the mountain. They are absolutely sworn to secrecy on the advent of their death, or death of their family, if they tell what they do. So when you have somebody who says, I work in the aerospace industry, do them a favor, don't ask what they do. Don't put them on the spot to either lie or shift or fudge. Those are not our aliens over there. They are fabrications. But I'm going to say something that I rarely say outside the room. And that is that they are absolute, total crossbreeds, robots. There are some very lizard-looking people, and every now and then they are trained by bringing them out, and they have many times been seen over in Stallion Springs and Bear Valley and outlying places. They rarely are ever allowed to get as far down as the city itself. But over at, for instance, on Adam Drive on Eckers Place, we'll just call it Eckers Place, even though we're having a lot of dispute over it, they will come down that far. But that is mainly because the military keeps the place under such close surveillance. Always, if these guys get loose, they are very, very curious. They are very, very docile. And the only frightening thing about them is their appearance. They will have slit eyes, usually. Not all of the genetic structure is picked up to produce slit eyes. But they are trained to be able to see through slit eyes at night. They are genuinely nice beings. But if they come upon your car, they will turn everything on. They will try it. They won't try to drive it. They are curious. They will go through everything that you've got. And they will push every button. You'll have your wipers going and your ashtray out and everything will be working. They are not brilliant. They're not trained to be brilliant. They are trained to be trained and scare the daylights out of everybody they encounter. Very often they will come out of the facility and they'll over across the way into the flat toward Lancaster and Mojave area, they will come out, they'll climb up on the rooftops and things like that. So very shortly after they appear will also appear the military brigade. So don't Don't sweat if you run into one. Roby had an experience with a couple who came to call when he was building up on the mountain. But that's why this is so important. And I have my own agreements made. There will be no air traffic of dangerous variety coming over any part of these ridges. So if, in fact, you needed to retreat to this hilltop, you would be safe. Because you all know that all they've got to do is bring a helicopter over. And we may very well be visited by a few of those black ones before we get through today, but I don't think so. I think they'll just pull back everything. This is our day. And I do have agreements. And it's not too wise to cross me too often. So, shall we move on?
Yes, next stop.
Someone please get out and open the gate, and I'll... We have to be extremely careful because this property belongs to private parties, and we certainly don't want to become unpopular with them while we're dickering to purchase it. You'll notice there are three dwellings, very elderly dwellings, down here. There is one of at least three.
Stop before you intersect and we'll pass you there. Well, just go right over there and stop. I don't know why you don't need to push.
I would
Now, can you shut it when you come back?
I would point out that there are dwellings here very close. This is one of three or four little lakes. Very good water supply up here. On up the road that we're traveling, off to the left, there is a beautiful spring, but we also have people out here working the land. And we don't want to disturb or cause any problem with the people who live here. Off to the left, maybe a mile, is a wonderful spring. You will be able to see a massive rock up here as we go along. On up this road is a YMCA camp called Earl Anna. We have dickered with them about buying this entire mountainside and all of that camp, and it's in limbo land. People will notice in this vehicle that you will have the bluebirds flying back and forth across the road. We had the juvenile eagles up in sight, but they have now turned their attention to the man watering, so we may not get to see them again. I'm sorry we didn't stop. We can't have time to go all the way up to the camp, but there is a large cafeteria building, a large kind of center building, and we will stop here. As the stream comes down, its headwaters are up at the camp area, and that's one reason that it's so important to have the camp area. This is an area where the stream comes down, and there is a little place here called the Weir, where on certain days water is diverted or else it's left open to run freely into a little lake to the right and a little lake to the left on down the hill. This is one of the most important places in this entire area, and this is where I have to ask your indulgence to be to be cautious about how you handle yourself. This is very, very sacred ground up here. This is Tocantula's place. I have really pondered whether or not I could bring you. I believe that it is worthy enough for us to stop and be able to experience this. I'm not going to give any more location about any more coordinates. I don't want everybody just running up here. But it is the place where the Indians will come up to the Indian campground. This has just been a meeting of the elders of the various tribes up at that campground this weekend, and this is the place they climb the fence and come over to. So I'm going to share that with you, and I'm just going to have to trust that everybody will be worthy of their word and keep quiet about it. Let's please. You are in God's temple here. You don't have any idea on what sacred ground you stand. And we will have reverence. I had just put on the tape that I have to ask your indulgence and your absolute reverence to this place. This is it. I'm not going to give the coordinates. I would like for you to look around. I would like for you to look at the hair on your arm as we move toward these places. We're going to cross the stream. You're going to get goose pimples. I repeat, this is Tocantula's land. This is for Little Crow. And there are things deep in the heart of this place underneath us that would blow your mind. And I don't want to say much more about it. Let us quietly go and let us experience, because this is it. This is why we are here. It's not the crystal, but this is sacred. This is what would be called the Awakan Wakan, the holy altar. The bluebirds nest up here, and usually they come to feed their young at this little stream. It's a little late.
Carry across?
No, I don't need that. I've got my faculties. As you come up to this area, you will realize that this is not a natural formation, although it's forever been here. I'm not going to explain what that is, but we will come down here, and then I want you just to quietly experience for a moment. Marina is Indian. She understood it immediately, and I wish all of you could share that. This is what we call the heart of the mother, right here. On the first journey up here for these ones, Grandfather spoke and said, "Get Little Crow up here. This is his land." And it doesn't matter how many times this land changes hands, this will be the mother, the altar. This is where the heartbeat is. This is where the ancient things are that will bring you back to knowledge. It's a sacred place. Some of these little stops have to be very short because we have ones who need to catch a plane in L.A. to go back to Hawaii. So we're just going to kind of skim over the rest of everything. This was the most important part to experience. The rest can even be handled from the vehicles if we need to. I would have spoken about and let them take pictures of what we called the acorn stash. We have acorn woodpeckers up here who actually destroy some of the trees. But unfortunately, it also becomes a landmark for the local people, and we don't want people just running up here. I want to comment a little bit along the way. As we travel down this road, we're going to have to cut quite a bit of this little trip short because we, as I said before, we have ones that must catch plane in L.A. That means we've got to wrap up in these hinterlands so that they can be on the right road when they need to go. As we come along this valley road, you'll notice a lot of orchards. It became so incredibly expensive to irrigate that most of the older orchards that were actually prize-winning orchards have been removed. This was all orchard land. I'm speaking to the ones in the car. This was called Near's Orchard, and we were unable to get control of it before they had to close it. We just did not have the resources. This is really sad because you're going to live on fruit. And if we were to go farther up there, up this road, we're going to turn left so that we can see other more important land points. But there is an entire area very close to Tehachapi downtown that is called Noon's Ranch. And we have been negotiating with that, and they held it for us for 3 years, but we just couldn't do it. So most of those prime apple orchards have been removed off of it. But it is extremely prime growing land. And in fact, there has been several attempts to break that land up into housing developments. It's extremely important that not happen, because on the Noons property they also have the prime wells in the area, and they trade off water out of the aqueduct, etc., for irrigation, for the wonderful water that comes out of the ground and to feed the city of Tehachapi. And anyone looking at this as we come down out of the foothills we'll see that we are looking across the way to the other side of this valley, the Tehachapi Valley, remembering that Tehachapi itself means land of plenty acorns, winds, clear winds, clean winds, clear water, and abundance. It is the Valley of Radiance, Tehachapi, which all you Texans will understand. Tejas, you would spell it Texas, T-E-X-A-S, if you were down in Texas. And from that has come the term Tehachapi, which is an Indian name, but it is recognized by us as Tehachapi. As we go directly across the valley, we can look at the area as we go by and make a turn onto the freeway, because we want to go down as far as at least the Broom Ranch off-ramp toward Keene. And we'll need to gather to speak just a little bit, but we better keep our speaking to an absolute minimum. And people traveling along even with us are just going to have to get a set of tapes, either before they go or get them later, because I don't believe that we have time to stop and have a little lecture every place, and I can be talking along the way. There is a lot of land still left in Tehachapi. Very, very low development so far. As you look across the way, the water treatment plant or the sewer plant is off here for the area of Golden Hills, etc., but it certainly will not be able to handle what will be the influx as building happens, although the Capitol Hills, or Tehachapi North, has already been assigned the right to build. There is a prime railroad leg that runs through here, and one reason that we need to make this route is that I want to be able to show, to have a picture in your mind why this area is so extremely important. You see, you're going to have a major break at the San Andreas Fault. It's going to be almost impossible to come by land from the sea area. As you head out toward the southern direction, you're going to find that you run into the Mojave Desert, but you will also probably be cut off at the Garlock Fault. So most of the influx will be needing to come in through Bakersfield to the north. And up here, between us and Bakersfield, along about the Broom Ranch, or the way station as we call it around here, there is a highway way station where the road gets very narrow. There is a back road, but we can easily plug that road with one blast and secure this town. And don't misunderstand what I say by one blast. I'm talking about the hillside, not blasting you with lasers. This is a major truck route, and these truckers need a place to stop. And if and when things begin to break up, they're going to be pulling out of the major city as rapidly as they can if they're on the outskirts and are able to get across the faults at all. You're going to end up with a lot of traffic in this area cut off. So you better hope that those truckers are carrying something you can use. To the right here, we have now made a turn onto Highway 58 toward Bakersfield, and all of this area for 12 miles is what is called the Broom Ranch. It is almost in its pristine state. There are not more than two or three buildings on it at all. The old ranch place is to the left of the freeway and has never been developed. Mr. Broom bought this as an investment by flying over it. He has never allowed very much development. He runs cows and he has a cattle crew. There is a cinnabar mine that we will pass up here, and it is extremely valuable. It will need some attention in the beginning because it will be near where it could be residential areas. And in that mine will be some mercury so that we will not want all of that toward the surface. There are other elements in it that are absolutely mandatory, and I have told these ones before. The Broom Ranch becomes extremely important because in doing a project proposal, there is enough land that is developable to go ahead and lay it out in estate lots. Every time you do a project, you must make it in a way that it will sell itself to any investor. And so many estate lots become worth so much money, and then these proposals become valid banking instruments. And it doesn't matter how we're going to get our money, we have to have valid banking instruments. We're not going to do business outside the loop of the way business is done. We just won't do it otherwise. And whether or not this land is ever developed, it will have to show development. So everything to the right of this freeway, as we pass here all the way to the little town of Keene, is Broom Ranch property. And it goes over a period of three mountain ranges. There are what, 26,000 acres, Oberly?
24,000.
24,000 attached to the Capitol Hills area makes about 31,000 acres that can come under development for our needs. If you go down through Caliente, which we will not do today, and go up then toward Walker Basin, you will pass a little place called Lorraine. And Lorraine is just a little wide place in the road, but it can be reached if the proper roads are built Or you will not even want to have it reachable except through locked gates because your security comes on the back side of this loop ranch. You can get all the way over to this little town of Lorraine, and it's very rugged country on the other side. You could maybe raise some cattle. In between, there are some places called Tweedy Creek, which could be utilized a little bit for some agriculture. But most of this land is pretty rugged, and you want to keep it that way. Over on the opposite side, there is another ranch, which I will not name, and it has 14 running springs, year-round springs. So the water has to be considered. That will be your major, major problem. So we must have land that has water and good water, and it must be protected. We have driven along here, and now I believe for the visitors here in the car, you'll be able to see that the railroad runs here to the left, and it will come down to a hill that we will point out, which is called the Loop. This whole area is also called the Loop Ranch. Actually, a youngster kind of designed this loop. They run such heavy, lengthy trains up through here that they couldn't, even with 7 or 8 booster locomotives, pull the hill. So they have taken and tunneled. They run a railroad around the outside, which becomes a loop, and it crosses. A train will cross over itself because it's tunneled. And if it's coming uphill, especially important is to make this loop within the hill and encircle the hill, and then you can come out at the proper altitude to make it on into Tehachapi, because Tehachapi Summit is the highest place in this area. And that's the way it was chosen to be handled. So railroad buffs come from all over the world to witness this feat of engineering. And it is on the Broome property. It is the only property on the left-hand side of this freeway going toward Bakersfield.
Here we can't see very well, but we can see the dig up there for the cinnabar mine, and then the mine is down below there.
I would, well, Gail is not local, but any local people can catch up and literally come down here this afternoon. It doesn't, we just need to make sure that the ones going to Hawaii get out of here on time. We're not going to pause, but just for a minute. I'll try to get everything I can onto this tape. We want our Hawaiian friends to know that we're going to cut this very, very short. Anyone local can come back out here and look at this. So I want them to be able to see everything at least, and they can get the tapes and they can catch up. If you go on down this freeway, you will pass the loop. Where I have just explained the railroad, just you who are local know about it. It is the central point of discussion always in this place for tourists. The trains come, and to get up this hill, even with booster locomotives, they have to go in through the tunnel and then loop around the outside of the hill, and then they're coming out at an altitude where they can make it on into Tehachapi. It also reduces the speed as they come down the hill to go toward Bakersfield. It's just a point of interest. The thing I wanted them to see is all this property down to the little town of Keene is called Broome, Broome Ranch, B-R-O-O-M-E, as you will see on this off-ramp. There is a cinnabar mine here right off in this direction. I don't want to discuss it very much because it does contain mercury, and we will probably bury most of it. We have had this land in negotiations with Mr. Broome for years. He just wanted $13 million and we didn't have it. And they have kept it in a very pristine state. They run cattle. He has his own operatives that run cattle. It basically has not been developed otherwise, except the only piece of property remaining with this Broome property, which is 24,000 acres, is the loop itself. And a little ranch dwellings and things, the old homestead burned, but there are some, that's where the bunkhouses and things are for the ones that run. And anybody who wants to drive out the old road this afternoon and come and watch these trains, it is fascinating. All over the world they come to look at this loop. And it's just because it's interesting. I wanted you to see the land. From here, it will extend like three little mountain ranges. That includes this 24,000 acres. On the back side is a place where we must have a way to get through. And there is an old road. When we get to Sand Canyon, you will know that there is an old road that, with lock gates and so forth, that will allow you to go over this range. But it isn't for public travel. They have ranches on both sides, and it's at the end of Sand Canyon. But that can be upgraded enough to be able to get through to the other side. Now, why would you want to get to the other side? Because it has that piece of property that backs this one, and we have investigated it. It was for sale also, but we delayed again. But it has 14 year-round running springs on it. And about all you can do with it is have that water and the trees, because it's so mountainous that there's not much else to do with it. You can run a few cows. And there's a pretty good cattle operation, a little town of Lorain. It's all over this hill. To get to Lorain now, you go up on down this road, turn right, and you would go into Caliente up toward Walker Basin. But if you keep going, you will come to this little beautiful, wonderful, little bitty town of Lorain. Any questions here, or can we move right on? I'll try to get as much as I can while I talk in the car. Since we're not going to be able to take this caravan on one leg of the trip that I had truly wanted to show them, but as EJ suggested, most got to see it from the air. Directly across from this property is what is called the Keene Ranch property. It's a little more toward Keene, but it runs all the way into the property, actually, behind the Eckers. And that's one reason it's never been developed. That particular property right at their property line does not belong to the Keene Ranch, but basically it's not developable either. There is a wonderful valley up in there, absolutely marvelous valley up in that area, and will be prime place to have a dairy, chickens, animals out of the way, out of sight. It can also be developed, and there would be some land in that little valley that could be, is arable, but I don't think you would ever want to do more than raise grain and hay for the dairy itself. But we're not going to do that today. My intent, as we go along, and we've not been able to talk about the projects, we didn't even get to the list before we went. We knew we would be very, very short of time, but we'll cram in as much as we can. You see, part of the reason that I wanted to do this was so that, let us say you are a dairy farmer, or you have always wanted to be a dairy farmer. For instance, in the state of California, as you go up toward Fresno and Sacramento from here, you will find an area of many, many dairy farms. Most of those are owned and operated by a family called the Jensens. Now, we have access to Cal Jensen, who is of that family. His whole life has been in dairy farming, as a for instance. But he's not necessarily the only dairy farmer. Some of you are going to know how to raise chickens. We're not interested in raising chickens to kill and eat because we're going to raise soybeans, and we're not going to kill off our animals just for the hell of eating beefsteak, for instance. And when you are having winds at 200 miles an hour sustained, you're going to have to get these animals into shelter. Up at the Keene Ranch that I was just speaking of, it is sheltered. Already it's sheltered. But you're still going to have to build semi-underground barns. You can either build them entirely underground so that you can use the top of it for growing or above ground use. But these animals are going to have to be protected from the severe winter and the severe heat of summer. You are going to move into almost two seasons, period. Extreme heat, extreme cold. You won't recognize seasons. There are going to be so many seasonal hot spells and so many seasonal, unseasonal cold spells that you're going to shake your head. They're already shaking their head. That's part of the reason so many of the apple orchards are gone after hundreds of years of being able to grow things in this valley. Suddenly, they freeze. So already the changes are taking place. And you who are listening and wonder what in the world your talents might be used for, consider these things as we discuss. Everybody's not going to come out here and be an actor in a motion picture studio, but maybe you know how to run a camera. There will be plenty of available people, but we're going to need substantial numbers of people to build from. And certainly we do want to build with our own crew where we can. So just keep these things in mind as we talk about them. We've got to have everything from grist mills to pencil making facilities. So when you ask, what can I do? I can't answer you, what can you do? You're going to have to see what maybe you can do and let us see how it unfolds. And it's going to take a while yet to be able to do that. And we can't sustain any more load here right now. But as you speak with yourself and you speak with God, you're going to know. You don't have to ask us. Please realize that all of this land here, and part of this by Mr. Broom's son, has applied for, and I believe has been approved for, some development to work adjacent to the Capitol Hills property. You can see that that ranch is an incredible piece of property because it runs for 10 to 12 miles. Just linearly here along this freeway, which is a major, major circulation route for trucking and this railroad. We're going to come up here and turn off and move into what is now called the Capitol Hills area. There is only an ARCO station built on that very beautiful piece of valley land. And it has been zoned for development, so we would not have much of a problem with it. The beautiful aspect of this is that the land is still here. The infrastructure that is in for the commercial district is approved. And it is built on the scale or the curved circular structure of Atlantis. And I'm going to ask that EJ discuss this when we get up here and point out the various and sundry places and the intended use of this particular property. So I personally will sign off.
Commander asked me to give you a brief description of this particular situation here. We're at Tehachapi North. It's comprised of 2,100 acres. 975 acres of which is annexed to the city of Tehachapi and has been zoned for commercial and residential development. The biggest dome for the Inside Futuronix movie studio is assumed to be roughly in the middle of the that flat area out there. And around that, we think we'll wind up with at least five other major domes. The center one, the big one, should be 450 feet in diameter and roughly 220 feet tall. That's roughly 20 to 25 stories. Give you an idea of the size of it. So it should be a major development, extremely attractive to people who would want to stop. We could have actually something like a Disneyland here if we wanted to. I don't think that's the objective, naturally. But anyway, that's in that area, and then around that are the other domes, and that's the center of the city, and there are plenty of places for university-type things, places for people to come and learn things. And then in the foothills, lots of areas for lovely home sites. I believe that pretty well does it for me here. Doris is going to give you a talk now.
Well, over here, yeah, it is. Over here to the left, just before you get to what I was just describing in the car as the Broom property, and Mr. Broom's son had already been able to annex part of that where it starts up the hill. That's Broom property. But before you get there, as you see when we drive out to the right, is an area there that will be a complete P. Anderson's pea soup thing with its windmill and all that stuff. And there will be a truck stop and a place for those truckers to have a soup kitchen and facilities. But it'll be a major motel. And we've already had the people out to look at that, and they've already agreed to do it. So, and then as we move on down toward that end, as we go by it, simply because